What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered episode number 521 here on Thursday, June 27th. Apologies for the day delay. It's been a very busy week, obviously, as you can imagine. With the news, preparing for the debate, and
SCOTUS.
You know, I got a million other things to do, but yeah. Wanted to get a show out for you here. Whether you're listening to this right before the debate or after it, it'll still apply. So,
yeah, that's good.
All right, so obviously today is the debate. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yep.
By a long time, I feel like it's been forever.
It's been,
but
like,
really,
I feel
only
like
been
it's
like,
been months. I feel like Joe Biden has absconded to Camp David for like 2 months now.
But it's only been, what, about
like
a month.
Days, yeah.
No, about a month since they announced.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, about that.
But you're right. Joe Biden's been hiding at Camp David for
hiding,
over a week now.
Hiding Biden, like COVID times.
He came out of the cave today to travel to Atlanta for the debate. Trump just landed in Atlanta as we're recording this. So the debate is happening. Many people thought it might not happen, but it is going to happen tonight.
Yep.
And we'll see if Joe Biden can survive the 90 minutes. I'm sure he's going to be all jacked up on whatever cocktail they came up with.
Heroin.
Dr. Feelgood over there. So we will see what happens here. Obviously, the bar has been pushed pretty low for Joe Biden, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because everybody just thinks the old guy's going to croak up on stage. I actually don't think that's going to happen.
And I don't think that should be the right approach for Trump's team, and I don't think they took that approach.
What do you mean?
I think they prepared the former president as if Biden is going to be cogent and coming out swinging.
Oh, sure. But where they erred, I think, in the messaging was driving the message that Biden's going to not be able
down.
To survive. Yeah. Now, of course, we want to make fun of him being a feeble old man because like it's ridiculous, right? But that also can be a double-edged sword in the fact that it really lowers expectations across the board.
Yeah.
However, not a lot of people are undecided right now.
Yeah.
I think it's only like 17% would consider changing their vote.
Yeah.
Right? So that's pretty low. There's quite a partisan divide here going into this debate. And Nate Silver ran his first projection of the election. And now, you know, Nate Silver in the past obviously worked for, what, the New York Times. So
he
had to be liberally slanted.
Yeah.
But his analysis of this campaign and where the polling stands and all that is very interesting. Matt, you wrote about that, so go ahead.
Well, I mean, he is a political agnostic, or at least he tries to say
No,
so.
We know he's a liberal. let's not go that far. But
he's also bought by your favorite people, Disney.
But he is a decent data scientist when he takes off his partisan hat, which I think
he did
in this analysis.
Yeah, so you know, he basically shredded the whole, like, the economy is not good. He did the model numbers. And right now he's like, it's not a toss-up. Trump has a 66% chance of winning the presidential election. And he's like, if my model and the model in his head, because remember, he likes to keep things proprietary. He doesn't like to share a lot of the inner, you know, machinations of his polling algorithm. He's like, if they diverge and stuff and, you know, there's a change, he's like, I'll let you know. But for now, this race is incredibly stable. People already knew who was going to be the Republican and Democratic nominees, respectfully. The name recognition is there. They already know how they feel about them. The high rate of polarization, you know, all leads to a very stable race. And he's like, there's been a lot of polling lately. And he's like, there hasn't really been a lot of, you know, weird tangents that he can see. So, you know, he has a list of reasons for Biden, a list of reasons for Trump, and you know, the list of reasons for Trump becomes more robust by the week, whereas Biden, it's not. And he brings up again Biden's age. He also brought up what he said about a month ago, which is that Biden should quit. You know, his numbers are he's like, his numbers are abysmal. He's like, this isn't 2020, you know, in the months leading up to that race. He's like, the president is the most unpopular incumbent in like a generation at least. And you know, it's just I feel like in liberal America that this isn't a toss-up and Trump can win is becoming a more acceptable narrative for them.
For sure.
Which is why they're getting very, very worried.
And
I think that given the, you know, the string of polls that we're going to talk about later, but, you know, this could be the election tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean,
possibly. You know, I know it's June, but like, given how things are going with the economy, how we're, there's chaos abroad, the inflation, immigration. There's another 21-year-old who was strangled by an illegal from Ecuador, I believe. That broke today. It just the now, course
you're
of the
talking
country.
About the 15-year-old that was raped by the Haitian in New York or the Ecuador. Ecuador, I think, was last week.
Was last week?
Unless there's a new one. There very well could be a new one.
This is coming out of the woodwork. When you allow millions of people in, you're going to have these
And we're
going to
talk more about
on.
That in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep
but all the illegal alien crime, you know, everyone thinking that, you know, the country on the right track figures are, which is underreported, has been even worse.
It's like 70%.
It's like 70%.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
I don't think a president's ever won with that number.
No.
Yeah.
So this can't. This is, I think, you know, kind of like the Waterloo moment for the Biden campaign. And then leading up to this debate, they start blaming us. I'm sure you saw what's her name, Ms. Escobar. I forgot what the fuck is her first name. But she went on CNN and was like, "I think everyone has amnesia." When Manu Raju was like, "Well, how can you explain why Trump is beating your guy on inflation, on the economy, and now who is the better candidate to protect democracy?" It's now Donald Trump, which has to drive the most far left wingers up the wall, and it did. Joy Behar had a total meltdown on The View about that. So there's really no good news. So when you have nothing, that's what you got to do, which is still a losing strategy, which is blame the voters, which is what Jimmy fucking Carter did in 1979, leading up to his failed 1980 reelection.
Yeah.
Blame people. We're in a malaise. So, but now it's amnesia. Don't believe your lying eyes, like you say, like we've all been saying.
There's a few levels to this, right? I agree with you that tonight has the opportunity for Trump to put the kill shot on Biden.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we don't want it to be too much of a kill shot because they might try to pull him, which would be the worst thing that could happen to us right now. Secondly, there is a lot of time between now and Election Day. There will be developments. Trump's going to get sentenced. You have the conventions, the VP pick. You'll have an October surprise. There always is, right?
Yep.
But I do agree with you that tonight very well could decide the election, and that's what's really unique about this.
Yeah.
It's the earliest debate ever, but it has the chance to be the moment that decides the election.
Yeah.
And in any election, there's really only 3 to 4 things, major key moments that decide the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, 2016, you had the Hillary Comey press conference. You could go through and just pick a few out. That's what decides elections, right? There's obviously overall macro trends here at play. But the thing about this is that you have such a deteriorating country under Joe Biden's feet.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, we have just this morning news breaking of a 15-year-old girl being raped in her car by a Haitian illegal in upstate New York. This Haitian apparently had a detainer, but the ICE didn't honor it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, they were let in a year ago by Biden, vetted, air quote, released.
Yeah. Yeah.
This comes on the heels of just last week, the Venezuelan murderer.
Yep.
I mean, and I hope Trump hammers Joe Biden on this tonight, because this is one of the most egregious things that's happened during Biden's presidency.
And the ISIS-affiliated smuggling ring that got busted up.
Well, but according to Mayorkas, that's all fake news.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Didn't they
do I mean, I don't, you know, I think, of course, it's real news, but like, you know.
Yeah. Didn't we stop an ISIS plot like 10 days ago?
Yeah, yeah.
So
they're just saying it did never happen.
Yeah, it never
happened.
Yeah. FOIA that shit.
But here's the thing, okay? Of all the things in the Biden administration, the one that he actually has the power to do something and just totally neglected it and did pretty much the most harm to the nation.
Yeah.
Right? The economy's terrible and that's all terrible stuff. But the illegal immigration.
Yeah.
Because not only is it costing the country tons of money, innocent Americans are getting raped, murdered, you know, raped in broad daylight in the park, these kids
assaulted.
And not only that, it is destroying the fabric of the country.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember many, many years ago, they say, "Oh yeah, replacement theory." That's just a conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Well, look at the job market.
That's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you, again, you just said it, the job market, that's one part of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the real issue here is that you're going to have a native-born minority.
Yeah.
What country can survive under those cases?
Yeah.
You're seeing what's happening over in Europe.
Oh, not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Yeah. The Muslims are taking over, and they're completely, like, they've overrun Denmark.
So on the illegal immigration thing, I hope Trump slams the shit out of Biden with all these illegals raping and murdering. You know, they're sending murderers, they're sending rapists. Remember this flack that Trump took for that? Well, that was the truth. Yeah. I hope he kills them on that right now.
And if these people were so great, why are they hiding them? You mentioned, you know, these migrant hotels. You know, like, they don't tell people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like the Ritz-Carlton down the road. So, I mean, that's just tacit acknowledgement that that they don't know who the fuck these people are.
It's almost like I think it's half of hotels in New York have been converted to illegal shelters.
There was a local news outlet that went on the hunt looking for, like, the migrant shelters.
Yeah, and people. They're not allowed in.
Yeah, they're not allowed in.
The next part of it is the economy.
Yeah.
Trump has to hit home the point that I had the best economy in the history of the United States.
Yep.
The China virus came in. You all saw what happened. They did it, and they never paid a price for it because of Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to bring the greatest economy in the history of the country back. Yeah. That's what people want to hear.
Yeah.
We're going to get inflation under control.
Yep.
We're going to make it manageable to buy a house again. You're going to get your finances back in order, and we're going to be prosperous again.
Small business confidence reached record highs under my presidency.
Yeah.
Consumer confidence reached record highs under my presidency. Companies were giving bonuses to their workers. Apple decided to repatriate $350 billion in overseas cash because my business climate was so great. What have you done, Joe?
Yeah, you also have to hit on energy policy in there, which I'm sure Trump will do. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
The anti, you know, the climate change stuff.
Yeah.
But then he also has to really hit hard on the foreign policy because that's been one of Biden's biggest catastrophes.
Yeah.
Just now, I just read right before we came on here, we've been talking about the risk of escalating war in the Middle East with Lebanon and Israel potentially going at it. Other countries have been pulling all of their citizens out, warning them to leave now while they still had a chance. We have not done that yet, but the military tells the true tale of the tape because we just moved military assets in place to evacuate our embassy over there.
Yeah.
And you know what that is. I mean, that again, of course, we're going to be helicoptering our people out under gunfire because that's the Joe Biden mantra. Yeah. I mean, how many embassies and how many countries has this motherfucker lost because this guy has no strength?
He doesn't.
I mean, that's all.
And this is not a small task either. There's like 400,000 Americans in the region.
Well, the citizens are fucked.
You know.
I'm talking about the, like, just the embassy itself, right?
That's
because there's always cases where we tell our citizens to leave, but the embassies, they stay open, they stay secure.
As a place of refuge.
Now we can't even do that.
Yeah, you can't do that now. No way.
I mean, this guy.
Hezbollah's firing rockets, like, left and right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that Trump's going to have a really strong showing tonight. I think he's going to win the debate handedly. I actually think he might win it so much to a point that the Democrats really, really go full-blown panic.
Yeah.
And they really are going to put things in motion to potentially move Joe Biden. Now, here's the thing. The only way Biden's coming off this ticket is if he decides not to run again. Because, and I will tell you why, because they're doing this virtual roll call.
Yeah.
And there's not an ability to have a convention fight there, right?
Yeah.
A roll call vote in person – where everyone's in the same location, you can have backroom conversations.
People go up to
and all
the
this.
Hotel rooms. You see, you've all seen the West Wing. It happens.
Right, right. No, I mean,
that's what happens. Yeah.
With a virtual roll call, that's not going to happen.
No.
So, unless you know someone behind the scenes, and by that I mean the party leadership, decides to buck Joe Biden, and start getting people aligned behind someone else, but I don't see that happening. I don't think there's going to be a hostile takeover. Maybe.
It might be too late, dude.
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly,
I think
it might be too
late.
Which
is great for us.
Oh, yeah,
we hope that's the truth.
That's great. You know, Biden can get up there and talk about how, you know, how he passed a law that made it easier to bust up monopolies has helped American working families. It has not. I hope Trump allows Biden to go on his prepackaged plan, you know, talking points about that, about how he's reducing prescription drugs, even though Trump already did that with insulin in the twilight of his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all these things that while, you know, reducing drugs, yeah, sure, that's great. How does that help the working family that's being killed and strangled by inflation right now,
mm-hmm.
Joe? How does busting up monopolies help working families right now? So, you know, this is all like inside the beltway, like political class ego bullshit. And I think Trump should just allow him to do that and just take it line by line apart when he has that green light on his side.
Yeah.
And I think he will.
The only thing Trump has to be careful of is kind of the dynamic that happened in 2020 was people thought that he was bullying Joe Biden too much. And while I love that because Joe Biden deserves every bit of bullying he gets.
I rewatched parts of it. It went too far.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I'm a Bloodsport politician.
Oh, yeah, kind of guy. Same here. But it didn't, you know.
It didn't work.
I mean, the polling showed it, you know, weeks later. It actually hurt him, so.
Right. And so I think that's the real key is that he needs to strike these blows, but do it in a way. You remember the Hillary moment where she's like, it's awful good that someone with your temperament's not in charge of our judicial system.
Yeah.
And he just calmly snipes back because you'd be in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he needs, right? But the dynamic tonight's going to be very different because in every essentially presidential debate in the past, there's been an audience. That's not the case tonight. They have mute buttons if they go over time. So that immediately favors Joe Biden because you know those mute buttons are going to be used more heavily against Trump.
Yeah.
You know that the debate moderators are heavily biased against Trump.
Yeah.
I do think that this week exposing a lot of their biases will work in our favor because they're going to try to overcompensate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still going to be skewed, of course, because it always is for us.
But their credibility took a hit for a solid 5 days over the
over
Casey Hunt's little meltdown with Caroline Leavitt. And
for sure. And Jake Tapper's so vain.
Yeah.
He's so egotistical that he thinks of himself as a real journalist. And so he might try to actually be fair. We'll see. I'm not counting on it, but there is a chance.
And that mute button is going to, you know, remember when, even in 2020, remember when Joe's like, he listed his 5 points and he went from 1 to 4.
Uh-huh.
He missed a couple and Trump was like, no, Joe, you're at 2.
Yeah.
You know, that mute button is going to help with those moments too, but I don't.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
It's going to be very interesting dynamics. It's just going to be quiet. You know, there's not going to be any cheers. There's not going to be any boos.
It's COVID light. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
No press, no audience, mute buttons. Like, what are we doing?
Well, I will say, I read a report earlier, and I don't have this 100% independently confirmed, but you know I do love a good rumor.
Yeah. Is this what Paul Sperry tweeted?
Yes.
Yes.
About the apparently the White House press corps is extremely upset that they don't get to have press in person inside to report on what's going on because they think that something significant may happen that gets, I don't want to say edited out, but not shown.
A medical episode.
Or if there's some sort of medical episode of the president.
Like, this is like spoilers to the Manchurian candidate. Like, what are you saying? Like, is someone going to slip something in the water? And someone's going to have a stroke? Like, what the fuck?
There's also talk that the delay, the TV delay, is going to be longer than the standard 7 seconds. There's going to be some interesting stuff going on here. And now, you know, keep in mind, CNN's not going to be able to hide everything because if something significant like that does happen, there's Trump staffers there and you know.
Oh, they're recording.
That shit's being recorded.
Yeah, it's really recording.
So I'm not overly concerned about that, but it is a little bit communist the way this is being run by CNN.
Seriously.
And CNN also saying that nobody else can use the video without rights, even though our great bud Ewan was like, fuck you, I'm not applying DMCA to this.
Yeah.
If people want to use clips on Twitter, they could use them as much as they want to.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But it is going to be on every channel, and that's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very well watched. And
There's two commercial breaks.
Yeah.
In a 90-minute debate, which is very unprecedented.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Usually there's like at least one, right? But that's during a two-hour debate, not necessarily 90 minutes.
I think two's pretty reasonable, but here's the thing. There's no meeting with staff in those breaks. There's no notes allowed, which heavily favors Trump.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Right? And so I think that this actually, those rules favor Trump.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Of course, we will have full coverage for you at townhall.com and all of our sites in the Town Hall Media family in the aftermath of this debate, whether you're listening to this right before the debate, whether you're listening to it after or tomorrow morning. We have you fully covered on all of our sites, and we're going to be breaking down exactly what happened. And of course, we will have our episode next week, which will be released Wednesday morning. We're recording it Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday. I'm off Wednesday for the 4th, you know, my favorite holiday. But we will have an episode out. We're going to break down exactly what happened. What's going to be really interesting about that is by then we will have fresh polling data to see how Americans reacted to this, if it moved the needle at all, if it didn't move it. That's going to be very interesting to see. So,
especially the little crosstab about 2020 Biden supporters who now think a plurality now think that he's too old to be effective.
Well, I saw a clip this morning. Someone was interviewing a 2020 Biden supporter from Detroit.
Oh, wow.
A black guy.
Yeah.
And he was asked, "Who did you vote for in 2020?" And he goes, "Joe Biden."
Yeah.
And the reporter goes, "Do you regret that?" Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's really what
was he under 50?
He looked like he was about middle age, like 40 to 50. 40 to 50.
Yeah. Okay. So that is the segment of the black vote that is fleeing in droves.
Well, and this is a good segue because a new poll came out yesterday, right? Where it was the New York Times poll, I believe, where Trump had 30% of the black vote.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
30%. And was almost winning Hispanics.
Yeah.
So if that happens, that's a Reagan landslide, right?
Yeah.
Then also you had yesterday afternoon the Democrat-tinted and, you know, I will say often unreliable Quinnipiac, which has had Biden in a lead of 3-6 consistently for months.
Yeah.
Puts out a poll showing Trump up 4 in registered voters and up 6 in the 5-candidate field, when you include Kennedy and the other no names, what's the black guy's name? Cornel West.
Oh, Cornel West. Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Marianne Williamson.
No. Is it Jill Stein running again? I can't remember.
Have no idea.
It's a lefty. I know it's a lefty.
Yeah, it's one of those crazy people.
Up 6 in the full 5 candidate field, winning white voters by double digits, within single digits among women. 40%, over 40% among Hispanics, and in this one, 25% of black voters. I mean, if Trump gets over 20 with the black vote, which it looks like is almost a certainty at this point, I see it hard how he would lose.
Yeah. I mean, the only demographic that's keeping this from being an absolute blowout right now is
white women.
Is college-educated, single white women, and... You know, let me tell you something. It's funny how they thought
repealed
that...
the 19th?
Yeah, they thought that, you know, in the Sun Belt, you know, especially in Arizona, how they thought that, oh... Well, we're going to get the Republicans on the abortion stuff there. No, Biden is actually losing Arizona badly, trailing badly there. So, he has to run the full gambit in terms of the blue wall, and that looks pretty shaky.
Yeah.
Sorry. Independents don't like him in Michigan. I know he's focusing on the Muslim communities in Michigan, but independent voters do not like Biden up there. And I think he can win Pennsylvania.
Well, looking at the map right now, you know, the Sun Belt is looking very strong for Trump. North Carolina is like +6. Georgia's +4. Florida's not even a debate. Trump's going to win Florida by over 5.
Yeah.
He'll be the first presidential candidate to win Florida by over 5 since Ronald Reagan, I believe. If you scroll over to the west there, Arizona's slightly closer. I think that's +3. Nevada was +4, which I found particularly shocking.
The tips, no tax on tips.
The tips is definitely playing. Hispanic is huge there. You know, the decline of the Harry Reid machine falling apart is huge. There's a lot of factors at play there. Let's also, you know, not forget here that I believe there's a Senate race there this year. Is there not?
I believe there is.
Yeah, so Jackie Rosen, who's like a no-name senator, never hear of her.
Yeah.
First elected in 2018 in the blue midterm year during Trump.
Yeah.
That's ripe.
Yeah.
And Sam Brown is not a bad candidate either. So that'll be interesting. That could play a huge role in the Senate math. Yeah. If we can win Nevada for the president and Senate, I mean, that would be just unbelievable. And then you go over to the north, right? The blue wall. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Out of those three, who do you think that I would rank as the most likely state to go Trump right now?
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, correct pick. Yeah. Well, you're from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I'm from New Jersey.
Well, but you lived there for a while.
For 10 years.
You lived there for a while. Okay, yeah, well,
it was
okay.
Never home for
me.
Yeah,
whatever. Okay, fuck off. But nonetheless, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
You obviously have Philadelphia, but the black vote in Philadelphia is going to play a key role in this election, right? There's been some really interesting stuff going on there. Trump had a rally there.
Yeah.
The voter registration swing in the city of Philadelphia has been very interesting. The voter registration swing in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, or state of Pennsylvania?
It's Commonwealth.
Commonwealth, like here. has been very positive for us. If you look at the Philly suburbs, which traditionally control the elections in Pennsylvania, they've been swinging back towards Trump, right? Obviously, Trump's going to crush in rural areas out there.
If
you look at Erie, Pennsylvania, which has traditionally been a bellwether for the state, the support of Trump up there is very strong again. Yeah. And Trump, in the latest poll there I saw, I believe, was +2.
Yeah.
Right?
Them and on the other side of the state, Luzerne County is also a good bellwether.
Correct, yeah.
Because
Joe Biden, Scranton. Yeah.
Luzerne used to be, you know, pretty Democrat.
Yeah.
And in 2016, it was all MAGA. Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, kind of flipped in 2020, and now it's back.
So I'm optimistic about Pennsylvania. Now, keep in mind, any of these northern states, if you take the Sun Belt, like we just said, we missed Arizona, too. I think Arizona's looking pretty decent.
Yeah, it's great. Right? Yeah, I think it's fine.
But
for now,
if you take the Sun Belt,
yep.
plop in Pennsylvania, that's a win, right? But you could go further than this down the line now. You look at Michigan, Trump was +1 there. You look at Wisconsin, Trump was +1 there in the latest poll. Those are going to be hard-fought states.
Yeah.
But I do think if Trump wins Pennsylvania, he will carry both of those.
Yeah. Get that legal team ready. They got to be there, ready to go.
Well, I agree. Yeah. Same thing for Pennsylvania.
But, you know, I think we're not talking about those states where there's like heavy union presence. And, you know, the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien, is coming to the Republican convention.
Yeah.
And the UAW president, while the front office endorsed Biden, he admitted most of my members aren't going to be voting for Biden this year.
Yep.
So I think there's going to be – I think
I don't know if he's going to outright endorse – but the fact that he is going to speak at the RNC is a de facto permission to his people.
It's like lose it, you know, to the delegates. You are released. Vote for how you
feel. Yeah. I really think that's huge. And then a sleeper state that not a lot of people are talking about, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
That's always been one that's difficult.
It's always been
difficult. But I'll tell you, if we're in a wave here, air quote wave, and I want to bring back the red wave because that has bad juju.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in that kind of year where the electorate's shifting hard, that's the kind of state that could get grabbed into it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're also talking now about potentially Minnesota and Virginia.
I was about to say, but he's tied in Minnesota. And he came within, what, 0.7% in 2016?
It was close.
The iron range has changed.
I'm not super ready to buy these polls yet, and I'll tell you why. Because there's the overall undercurrent right now of the political world is, Trump has a really good chance to win the election. But again, it all comes out to who's going to actually vote, right?
Yeah,
politics is all about getting more votes.
Yep.
I could definitely see a case where he carries both Minnesota and Virginia. Especially if he draws someone like a Glenn Youngkin into the ticket, which we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not ready to say, oh, yeah, we got a really good shot. Because in Virginia, it's driven by Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is filled with a bunch of foaming-at-the-mouth anti-Trump government liberals.
Yeah.
We could attest to that. We live here.
Yeah, my God, it's ridiculous.
You know, the district that we're in here is like D+56, right?
Yeah.
There was no Republican primary for the seat because I don't think it's going to even be a challenge.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, those are the vote counting tranches up here that really matter. I remember back in 2020, we're sitting there watching the returns for Virginia. Trump's up like 5 points here in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I look and I'm like, Fairfax County is not in yet.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. And then Fairfax County comes in. And then it's Biden +3 or whatever, right?
It's like Illinois.
Yeah.
The entire state of Illinois is in, and then Cook County is the last report. You know, no shocker there. And what happens?
Yeah.
Total flip.
Believe me, if you took out Northern Virginia, Virginia would be as red as hell.
We'd be red.
But I will say, we do have a good chance at winning here in Virginia.
Probably the best in a long, long time.
Yeah, and I think
Bush era.
I think that's actually, you know, one of the stronger cases to be made for potentially picking Glenn Youngkin to be VP. I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, I would love to see it happen. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. But there's been some rumblings about it for sure. There's been
a lot of meetings between those two.
Sure, sure.
A lot of talks.
The one thing that I did find interesting was Trump said that whoever he has picked to be his VP, and he has picked that person already. He said that he confirmed that. I believe he has informed this person in private. He has not publicly announced it yet. There was some rumor that he might announce it live during the debate tonight, so that'd be a really interesting thing.
Yeah.
He said whoever was going to be the VP is going to be at the debate tonight. So pay attention to who's at the debate for Trump, who is in the spin room after the debate doing the spin. I would imagine that's going to be people like Doug Burgum and, you know, others on the list. I don't think that Glenn Youngkin's going to be there. So if what he says is accurate, that this person's going to be at the debate, that would cross his name off the list. There's been a lot of rumblings about Vivek Ramaswamy. He was not on the original list.
Yeah,
The original short list. I'd be disappointed if you picked him. Everybody knows how I feel about him. I think he has been a loyal warrior the past few months, but I would like someone to be the VP.
That doesn't have a source test?
Well, that's one of the problems. That is, you know, has been a solid warrior for our side for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of plays off what you just said as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Burgum is a strong choice. I'd like to see somebody that could potentially take on the mantle of MAGA after Trump, right? We need somebody who's going to be in a good position to potentially run for president as the sitting vice president. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We certainly will see. What else do we got here? SCOTUS, you know, they've just been fucking with us here the last week. They have not.
My blood pressure's been on edge.
They haven't put out any of the big decisions yet. No. There's another decision day tomorrow morning. They added Monday morning as well. There's been a few here and there. You know, they put out the one on the social media companies censoring.
Which wasn't a good decision.
Well, here's the thing. It was a stupid decision, but the decision was that they had no standing to sue. Okay. Mm-hmm. They didn't actually rule on the merits of it because it was a standing decision,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Justice Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch dissented. Of course, Thomas and Alito, the best on the court. Alito's dissent was particularly really strong, I thought. You know, we run such a risk here as a society of shredding the First Amendment if we're not willing to take on cases like these, essentially, is what he said.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, even if the Supreme Court said that these social media companies violated the First Amendment, there was no recourse, and they're just going to continue to do it. It's what
That's what they do.
But yeah, now the Biden administration can ramp up their censorship machine again, which I'm sure they're going to be doing in the leading up to the election. And then this morning they released essentially a case on federal bureaucracy, but it is not the Chevron decision. The Chevron decision is the one that everyone's waiting for.
Yeah,
Chevron. The January 6th cases
immunity.
And the immunity are the three big rulings Enchiladas. That we were waiting for.
Yeah.
Those will be coming. I think tomorrow morning we're going to get a big one. I don't know which one, but it's going to come.
Very anticlimactic this morning. I mean, listen.
I knew that they weren't going to release immunity or J6 today.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe Chevron this morning. They didn't do that.
Instead, you know, you have a right to trial under SEC penalties.
Yeah.
And they stopped the settlement with the opiate manufacturers.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is good because, listen, people are in pain.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be punished for providing medications that provided people with the service.
One little bit of positive election news from the primaries on Tuesday night. Mr. Fire Alarm.
Yes.
Not in Congress anymore.
Goodbye, Jamal.
He lost by, what did he lose by, 20 points?
Yeah, he got fucking
He got face fucked.
Yeah. He got the hinges done.
Perhaps he can look for a new job as a fire alarm technician.
Someone had a meme. It was raising the alarm with Jamal Bowman coming soon to MSNBC.
Yeah. The new senator from Utah that will replace shithole Mitt Romney is only a slight upgrade above him.
He's a Trump skeptic. Don't like him.
Yeah, unfortunately, the establishment cuck won out there. We were rooting for Mayor Trent Skaggs, who was the Trump-endorsed candidate. Unfortunately, he did not win. I think the guy's name's Curtis, right? Maybe something like that. I mean, whatever. Romney fucking sucks. At least he himself's not going to be in the Senate. But, you know, a Romney light is going to be replacing in Utah. So that's unfortunate. Other than that, there wasn't a huge amount of surprises out of the primaries. Warren Boebert won out in Colorado. I think that's pretty much it. So,
good for her. I like that she's staying.
Well, you know, she was really smart to move districts to what's his name?
Ken Buck. You know.
Who adios.
Yeah.
What a fucking disappointment, you know? Yeah. We had
We can't be too mean for the Democrats. We can't be too mean to the Democrats, Ken Buck there.
What's really interesting is that he was very strong and conservative, especially during the Trump years.
Yeah.
And we even had him on the show. We had him on to talk about censorship.
He was great.
And he had some great bills out there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
the light switched. Yeah.
And, you know, I think what it comes down to is he realized, I don't want to be in Congress anymore, and I need to position myself for some fucking cuck lobbyist job or CNN contributorship afterwards to make money. And he started planting the seeds for that. And it's really disappointing when that happens, when you think someone's a good conservative warrior and then they just totally cuck themselves.
Yeah.
And it's happened
With countless people in Congress. This is what happens. They get Potomac Syndrome and they forget who they're, you know.
That's what it is. Yeah. Dan Crenshaw started off strong, turned into a total fucking disaster. I think Adam Kinzinger started off strong.
Yeah.
Total fucking disaster.
Yep.
Liz Cheney was a real conservative.
Yep.
Total fucking disaster. You know, it comes down to, you know, there's definitely some caveats. But what it really centers around is Trump, and Trump broke people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that Trump just broke irreparably, and their mental like stability is just gone. And if, God willing, when he wins in November, there is going to be some fireworks.
Yeah.
Because these people are unstable, they're unhinged, and they're going to do some crazy shit. I mean, and I'm not just talking about like – the city's burning down. I'm just talking about like general
attempts, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know what I mean?
I'm talking about general mental instability of a sizable portion of the population.
Yeah, well, we'll just lock them up.
Buy guns and buy ammo.
Yeah, we'll just lock them up, jack them up with,
and gold.
Ativan.
Not financial advice.
Yeah, not financial advice.
Yeah.
And jack them with Ativan and chain them to a bed and just, you know, let them wither away.
Yeah, well, stack up because it's going to be an interesting rest of the year. That's all we have to say. So, on that note, we're going to wrap up for today, get this off to Mr. Producer, so maybe he'll have a half hour to rest before the debate. poor Mr. Producer. He's been cranking away this week. Shout out to him. We would not be able to do not only this show, but our jobs and operate Town Hall Media without him. He is a great, great warrior. So, of course, if you have any comments, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. We have a very special sale going on right now, 60% off. It's the highest percentage discount we offer at any time of the year. Use promo code USA60. That's 60% off. Now, no better time to get in the club if you haven't yet. I promise you will love it. We have so many VIP members who are Triggered listeners, and not a single one has ever come back to me and asked for their money back. They love it. They love the content. Of course, they love Triggered Uncensored. And I promise you, it will be worth your money. You'll not only be directly funding what we do here on Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, which is also ad-free, you will get all of our other VIP members-only content, like Matt's VIP columns, Kurt's VIP members-only column, video, podcast, Katie's VIP column, Spencer's. The list goes on and on. And if you become a VIP Gold member, which right now is very cheap at 60% off, you get VIP Gold access to the entire network in Town Hall Media. That's Town Hall, PJ Media, Red State, Twitchy, Hot Air, Bearing Arms. I mean, the list is huge, and you will get all of that content across the board. I mean, we have some amazing stuff going on. You'll be funding our journalism that we're doing here, telling the truth about what's going on in this country, and fighting back against Joe Biden. The left is trying to destroy it. So we would really, really appreciate your support. I can't stress that enough. TownhallVIP.com. Use the promo code USA60 for 60% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members. That means the world to us. Makes us able to do what we do here. And we love all of you that are Triggered listeners. We do this show for you. I've got a number of emails from people asking when we're bringing the 2-time-a-week episodes back. And I promise you, those are coming back after Labor Day. We want to bring those back. It's just very hard. It's a time commitment. I have a lot of responsibilities in my actual job. I wish this was my actual job. I wish we could just do this.
Oh my God.
I would do an episode for you every single
4
day.
4 hours drinking, just shitting on the Dems? Yeah. Hell yeah. So,
but we love you all. Thank you for listening. We do this for you. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. And we will be back here next Wednesday, July 3rd, for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.